What I'd like to talk about today is the evaluation of a new prototype sensor for NDVI. Each year, approximately 95 million metric tons of nitrogen fertilizers are applied worldwide, with 60 to 70% of that being applied in developing countries. So there's a lot of nitrogen being applied. However, we know that worldwide, the nitrogen use efficiency is only about 33%. So that means for every pound or kilogram of nitrogen that a farmer is applying, the plant is only going to take up and use one-third of that. So our nitrogen use efficiency is relatively low, and with fertilizer prices, even a slight increase in nitrogen use efficiency could translate into several hundred million dollars in savings. And in addition to over-application of nitrogen and economic impacts for farmers by over-applying and losing economic profits, there's also a variety of environmental factors. Two of them that are listed are that each year more than $750 million of nitrogen flows down the Mississippi River. And then also through satellite imagery, it's also been well documented that in the Yaqui Valley in Mexico, that when the farmers fertilize with nitrogen, there is a corresponding algal bloom that corresponds to the amount of nitrogen estimated to run off. So with low nitrogen use efficiencies or NUEs, there's been a lot of work to develop methods that will help us increase the nitrogen use efficiencies. Everything from soil testing to optical sensors. Optical sensors are one thing that has provided a great promise and have been used to increase the NUEs. And Lee et al. Even reports an NUE of 61%, which is basically double the current worldwide NUE. And optical sensors use wavelengths to determine crop nitrogen status, and then by using algorithms you can make nitrogen recommendations. One of those sensors is the Greenseeker sensor, and in Oklahoma the Greenseeker has been used commercially for farmers for several years, I believe starting in 2004, to make nitrogen in-season recommendations. However, the Greenseeker is fairly expensive, even for farmers in the U.S., and there was an idea that what if we could take the same technology and develop a sensor that would be more affordable for farmers throughout the world, whether it's in the U.S. or in the developing world. So what came out of this was the pocket sensor. That's a picture of the sensor right there. It has just the operating button. There's a bubble level on it, and then the display that will display the NDVI. And the goal was to produce this sensor for less than about $400. With that, our objectives were to evaluate the prototype sensor and determine if it could be used with the same level of accuracy as the Greenseeker, and then to determine methods to use that sensor in cereal crops of corn and wheat. So we used a pocket sensor. It had the bubble level on it to maintain an angle straight down looking at the ground or over the crop. And then we also used a string level to maintain the height of the sensor. The pocket sensor is much more susceptible to changes in height or angle compared to the Greenseeker. So those two adjustments help maintain standard measurements. And then all the pocket sensor measurements that I'll be showing were taking 60 centimeters above the crop canopy. And the pocket sensor has a circular field of view, and at 60 centimeters it corresponds to 200 centimeters squared area. And then we used a Greenseeker as our standard. Measurements were taken at 90 to 100 centimeters above the crop, and the Greenseeker measures an area that is 1 centimeter by 60 centimeters for 60 square centimeters in a rectangle, and it measures about 10 readings per second. First off, we started looking at the calibration of the pocket sensor and the stability of that calibration. So over a five-month period in Mexico, all of this research was conducted in Ciudad Obregón at CEMET. We used grass canopies because they provided a very uniform canopy, and we took readings with the pocket sensor and then also with the Green Seeker. We selected areas that represented the series of NDVI from 0.1 up to about 0.8, what you could normally find, with 0.1 being bare soil. And then we took three readings with the pocket sensor and then three readings with the Green Seeker over a small meter square area, and then correlated the sensor readings to determine the accuracy of the pocket sensor. And then in corn and wheat, we selected plots in existing field trials, and we took one continuous reading with the Green Seeker, which would be equivalent to the farmer practice, the way that we would go out and take a Green Seeker reading to make a nitrogen recommendation. And by trial and error, we determined that three pocket sensor readings, taking the average of that, corresponded better than just taking one reading with the pocket sensor. So we took one reading with the Green Seeker and then took three readings of that same area with the pocket sensor and then looked at the correlation between those. And this is one of the pictures from Mexico over the grass canopies. So we tried to select something that was very uniform. We started with the Green Seeker. If there was more than a 0.01 variation between three readings, we actually went and found something that was more uniform, that gave us less variability. This is some of our corn work. A lot of times what we would do, we would take the Green Seeker and right behind that follow through with the pocket sensors to maintain the same area of measurement. And some of our wheat data, taking measurements over wheat. This graph shows the correlation between just the calibration of the pocket sensor over grass canopies. The pocket sensor readings are on the bottom x-axis, with the Green Seeker readings on the dependent y-axis. Overall, this is over the five-month period. We went out about every 2 weeks and checked the calibration, and we had R-squares of 0.98, and then we tested, statistically, we tested to see if we had an intercept of zero and a slope of one, and what we were wanting to see was a perfect correlation with the Green Seeker. And our next slide will be some of the wheat data. In our selected plots, we went out throughout the growing season, and then the graph will be the same way, with the pocket sensor on the x-axis, the Green Seeker on the y-axis. The R-squared, again, very high, 0.96. We had an intercept of 0.02 with a slope of 0.99. This is one of our corn data graphs. With corn, when the plant grows up, the canopy opens up, it's a little bit more challenging to get the data measurements. As you can see, our R-squared went down to 0.9. We've still got very close to a zero intercept and one slope. What we did find out, though, in corn is once the corn grew to about a meter in height, we couldn't get reliable pocket sensor readings because that corresponded to holding the sensor above eye level, and you couldn't determine how level the sensor was. This is our data table. We tried to use as many sensors as we could. on, you can see the pocket sensor number. Each number corresponds to a different sensor, and then the crop that we were using that in. We tested five in the grass canopies, and then we tested to see if we had a zero intercept and a slope of one. And the R-squared is also shown. With several of our sensors, there was no statistical difference between the green seekers and the pocket sensors. And then following down through toward the bottom of the table, we have our wheat and corn data. Again, the R-squares with wheat go down just a little bit to 0.96, 0.95, and then corn even lower with the canopy structure. So all of the pocket sensors were highly correlated with the green seekers, and they could be used accurately both in turf grass canopies and then with wheat and corn. So we believe this could provide accurate and useful information to farmers throughout the world at a much reduced cost. And then our future work is working on some second generation more user-friendly designs of the pocket sensor to continue our work in corn, refine that a little bit more and hopefully get better correlations. And then this also, we think, could have some uses for scientists in the third world. And I would like to acknowledge several people. Dr. Yvonne Ortiz Monasterio at CIMMYT was kind enough to let me work with him and his group in the nutrients program. And then Dr. Ron at OSU and the soil fertility graduate students. And then the United States Fulbright program. While I did this research, I was on a Fulbright scholarship, so they helped provide funding for the opportunity to go do this in Mexico. The question was, how do we think we could maybe refine our corn methodology? One thing we've thought about with the pocket sensor having the reduced field of view, you operate it lower than the canopy, would be if we could even operate it at a lower area and actually measure almost individually leaves instead of the whole plant. Could be one possibility. And then that's the main one I've thought of. There's endless things that we could try and just to see if we can find something better than our current methods.
One message, you mentioned you were hoping at the same height, the sensor and the pocket sensor and the green seeker. Do they have the same footprint?
The footprint of both sensors. The pocket sensor is it's a conical view. So as you go up or down, you actually change the area of measurement. At 60 centimeters, it's a circle that's 200 centimeters squared. The green seeker is actually a rectangular view that's 1 centimeter by 60 centimeters. So the field of view is not the same in both sensors. The question was, which green seeker did we use? All of the data that you saw used the same green seeker. And with the pocket sensor, it can be field calibrated to the green seeker that you have or an NDVI instrument. So we calibrated those to the green seeker that we had in Mexico, and then from there we use the same green seeker and the sensors.
Talk about going to the third world, how much of an issue is not having a uniform field using this sensor, using this pocket sensor, going to be?
What I was mentioning was the grass canopies as determining if the pocket sensor would measure the same as the green seeker. So really that was checking the calibration compare. We wanted to make sure we started with a uniform area so that wasn't an issue. But in actually field practice, you know, our corn and wheat data were both in areas that there were variations from foot to foot of the plots.